Welcome to day 265 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host, and I'm so glad you joined me today. Do you realize that since today's day 265, it means we only have 100 days left in our journey through the Word of God? What a great accomplishment to have made it through 265 broadcasts, because you have gotten through the majority of the Bible and have only 100 days left to complete, having heard every single word and every single verse, every single chapter and every single book in the entire Bible. What an amazing accomplishment. Today I woke up here in East Africa to the sound of birds chirping and to see that the Lord had sent a refreshing, gentle rain overnight to coat and refresh the very dry conditions that have been here in Tanzania for the last few months. The dust settled down overnight with that gentle rain, and it really brought a refreshing. So if you hear birds chirping, it's not a soundtrack. In fact, it's African birds rejoicing over a very fresh landscape that we all woke up to this morning. Today we are going to be completing the book of Zechariah. We will be reading chapters 10 through 14 in the Amplified Translation. And I want you to listen carefully as we read through, because there are several important prophetic references in the book of Zechariah to the Christ, the Messiah, to both the first coming of Christ, because remember, Zechariah was written more than 500 years before the birth of Christ. So every time he speaks about something about the Messiah, he's speaking totally from the Spirit of God. He hasn't experienced it or seen it with his eyes. He's looking forward in the Spirit to a time when the Messiah would come and visit Israel. And then he also makes references to the second coming of Christ. So as we read today, I want you to listen. There are many references, but let me give you three to keep your ears focused or open to. Two that refer to Christ when he walked on the earth the very first time. One where it says that he was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Let's see if you can find that one. And second one is where it says they will look on him whom they have pierced. And that's a definite reference to the crucifixion of Christ. And then thirdly, I want you to see if you can find the reference to the second coming of Christ. And it's a reference that talks about the Lord's stepping on the Mount of Olives and the mountain splitting in half. And that's a reference to the second return of Christ, where he will come and set his feet upon the very spot where the disciples saw Jesus ascend into heaven the very first time Jesus was on the earth. So keep your ears open and see if you can find those messianic prophetic references as we complete today the book of Zechariah. So beginning at Zechariah chapter 10, starting at verse 1. Ask of the Lord rain in the time of the latter or spring rain. It is the Lord who makes lightnings which usher in the rain and give men showers and grass to everyone in the field. For the teraphim, household idols, have spoken vanity, emptiness, falsity, and futility, and the diviners have seen a lie, and the dreamers have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore the people go their way like sheep. They are afflicted and hurt because there's no shepherd. My anger is kindled against the shepherds who are not true shepherds, and I will punish the goat leaders. For the Lord of hosts has visited his flock, the house of Judah, and will make them as his beautiful and majestic horse in the battle. Out of him, Judah, shall come forth the cornerstone, out of him the tent peg, out of him the battle bow. Every ruler shall proceed from him. and they shall be like mighty men, treading down their enemies in the mire of the streets, in the battle, and they shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the oppressors' riders on horses shall be confounded and put to shame. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, Ephraim. I will bring them back and cause them to dwell securely, for I have mercy, loving kindness, and compassion for them. They shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord their God, and I will hear them. Then Ephraim, the 10 tribes, shall become like a mighty warrior, and their hearts shall rejoice as through wine. Yes, their children shall see it and rejoice. Their hearts shall feel great delight and glory triumphantly in the Lord. I will hiss for them as the keeper does for his bees and gather them in, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase again as they have increased before in Egypt. And though I sow them among the nations, yet they shall earnestly remember me in far countries, and with their children they shall live, and shall return to God in the land he gave them. I will bring them all Israel home again from the land of Egypt, and gather them out of Assyria, and I will bring them into the land on the east and on the west of the Jordan, into Gilead and Lebanon, and room enough shall not be found for them. And the Lord will pass through the sea of distress and affliction at the head of his people, as he did at the Red Sea, and he will smite down the waves of the sea, and all the depths of the river Nile shall be dried up and put to shame, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter or rod of the taskmasters of Egypt shall pass away. And I will strengthen Israel in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down and glory in his name, says the Lord. Chapter 11. Open your doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour your cedars. Wail, O fir tree and cypress, for the cedar has fallen, because the glorious and lofty trees are laid waste. Wail, O you oaks of Bashan, for the thick and inaccessible forest on the steep mountainside has in flames been felled. A voice of the wailing of the shepherds, for their glory, the broad pasturage is laid waste. A voice of the roaring of young lions, for the pride of the Jordan, the jungle or thickets is ruined. Thus says the Lord my God, shepherd the flock destined for slaughter, whose buyers or possessors slay them and hold themselves not guilty. And they who sell them say, blessed be the Lord, for I have become rich. And their own shepherds neither pity nor spare them from the wolves. For I will no more pity or spare the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord. But behold, I will deliver every man into his neighbor's hands and into the hand of his foreign king. And the enemy shall lay waste the land, and I will not deliver the people out of the hand of the foreign oppressor. So I, Zechariah, shepherded the flock of slaughter, truly, as the name implies, the most miserable of sheep. And I took 2 shepherd's staffs, the one I called beauty or grace, and the other I called bands or union. And I fed and shepherded the flock. And I cut off the 3 shepherds, the civil authorities, the priests, and the prophets, in 1 month. For I was weary and impatient with them, and they also loathed me. So I, Zechariah, said, I will not be your shepherd. What is to die, let it die, and what is to be destroyed, let it be destroyed, and let the survivors devour one another's flesh. And I took my staff, beauty or grace, and I broke it in pieces to show that I was annulling the covenant or agreement which I had made with all the peoples not to molest them. So the covenant was annulled on that day, and thus the most wretched of the flock and the traffickers in the sheep who were watching me knew, recognized, and understood that it was truly the word of the Lord. And I said to them, if it seems just and right to you, give me my wages, but if not, withhold them. So they weighed out for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said to me, cast it to the potter, as if he said to the dogs, the munificently miserable sum at which I and my shepherd am priced by them. And I, Zechariah, took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Then I broke into pieces my other staff, bands, or union, indicating that I was annulling the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. And the Lord said to me, take up once more the implements, the staff and rod of a shepherd, but this time of a worthless and wicked shepherd. For behold, I will raise up a false shepherd in the land. The lost and perishing he will not miss or visit. The young and scattered he will not go to seek. The wounded and broken he will not heal, nor will he feed those that are strong and sound. But he will eat the flesh of the fat ones and break off their hooves to consume all the flesh. Woe to the worthless and foolish shepherd who deserts the flock. The sword shall smite his arm and his right eye. His arm shall be utterly withered and his right eye utterly blinded. Chapter 12. The burden or oracle, the thing to be lifted up of the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I am about to make Jerusalem a cup or bowl of reeling to all the peoples round about, and in the siege against Jerusalem will there also be a siege against and upon Judah. And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all peoples. All who lift it or burden themselves with it shall be sorely wounded. And all the nations of the earth shall come and gather together against it. In that day, says the Lord, I will smite every horse of the armies that contend against Jerusalem with terror and panic, and his rider with madness. And I will open my eyes and regard with favor the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the opposing nations with blindness. And the chiefs of Judah shall say in their hearts, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are our strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. In that day will I make the chiefs of Judah like a big blazing pot among sticks of wood, and like a flaming torch among sheaves of grain, and they shall devour all the peoples round about, and on the right hand and on the left, and they of Jerusalem shall yet again dwell and sit securely in their own place in Jerusalem. The Lord shall save and give victory to the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem may not be magnified and exalted above Judah. In that day will the Lord guard and defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he who is spiritually feeble and stumbles among them in that day of persecution shall become strong and noble like David, and the house of David shall maintain its supremacy like God, like the angel of the Lord who is before them. And it shall be in that day that I will make it my aim to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace or unmerited favor and supplication. And they shall look earnestly upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one who mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one who is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of the city of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddo over beloved King Josiah. and the land shall mourn every family apart, the kingly family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan, David's son, apart, and their wives apart, the priestly family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei, grandson of Levi, apart, and their wives apart, all the families that are left, each by itself and their wives by themselves, each with an overwhelming individual sorrow over having blindly rejected their unrecognized Messiah. Chapter 13. In that day there shall be a fountain opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse themselves from sin and uncleanness. And in that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will remove from the land the false prophets and the unclean spirit. And if anyone again appears falsely as a prophet, then his father and his mother who bore him shall say to him, You shall not live, for you speak lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother who bore him shall thrust him through when he prophesies. And in that day the false prophets shall each be ashamed of his vision when he prophesies, nor will he wear a hairy or rough garment to deceive, but he will deny his identity and say, I am no prophet. I am a tiller of the ground, for I have been made a bondservant from my youth. And one shall say to him, What are these wounds on your breast or between your hands? Then he will answer, Those with which I was wounded when disciplined in the house of my loving friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man who is my associate, says the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. And I will turn back my hand and stretch it out again upon the little ones of the flock. And in all the land, says the Lord, 2/3 shall be cut off and perish, but 1/3 shall be left alive. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will hear and answer them. I will say, It is my people, and they will say, The Lord is my God. Chapter 14. Behold, a day of the Lord is coming when the spoil taken from you shall be divided among the victors in the midst of you. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go into exile, but the rest of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which lies before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from the east to the west by a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And you shall flee by the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach to Azal, and you shall flee as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord, my Zechariah's God, shall come, and all the holy ones, saints and angels with him. And it shall come to pass in that day that there shall not be light. The glorious and bright ones, the heavenly bodies, shall be darkened. But it shall be one continuous day known to the Lord, not day and not night, but at evening time there shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them to the eastern Dead Sea, and half of them to the western Mediterranean Sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And in that day the Lord shall be one in the recognition and worship of men, and his name one. All the land shall be turned into a plain from Geba to Rimmon, the Rimmon that is south of Jerusalem. But Jerusalem shall remain lifted up on its site and dwell in its place from Benjamin's gate to the place of the first gate to the corner gate and from the tower of Hananel to the king's wine presses. And it shall be inhabited, for there shall be no more curse or ban of utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall dwell securely. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the peoples that have warred against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall rot away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall corrode away in their sockets, and their tongue shall decay away in their mouth. And in that day there shall be great confusion, discomfiture, and panic among them from the Lord. And they shall seize each his neighbor's hand, and the hand of the one shall be raised against the hand of the other. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the nations round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And as that plague on men, so shall be the plague on the horse, on the mule, on the camel, on the donkey, and on all the livestock and beasts that may be in those camps. And everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of tabernacles or booths. And it shall be that whoso of the families of the earth shall not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, upon them there shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt does not go up to Jerusalem and present themselves, upon them there shall be no rain. But there shall be the plague with which the Lord will smite the nations that go not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the consequent punishment of the sin of Egypt, and the consequent punishment of the sin of all the nations that do not go up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day there shall be written upon the little bells on the horses, Holy to the Lord. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be holy to the Lord, like the bowls before the altar. Yes, every pot in all the houses of Jerusalem and in Judah shall be dedicated and holy to the Lord of hosts, and all who sacrifice may come and take of them and boil their sacrifices in them. And traders in such wares will no longer be seen at the temple. And in that day there shall be no more a Canaanite, that is, any godless or unclean person, whether Jew or Gentile, in the house of the Lord of hosts. This is the end of the book of Zechariah and the end of today's scripture reading. As we listen to the book of Zechariah these last few days, I hope it's really clear to you that so much of what Zechariah saw in the spirit looked toward the future, looked toward the end times, not only toward the coming of the Messiah the first time, which he wrote about 500 so years before the birth of Christ, but also many of the references and many of these visions that Zechariah saw had to do with the end of the age. In other words, the end times, toward the second return of Christ, toward the time when there'd be a great battle of Armageddon, which we will hear more about in the book of Revelation. But so much of this circles around Jerusalem, and it's important for us as believers to understand the importance of Jerusalem and of Israel in God's time clock of the ages. In chapter 12, we heard the words, Behold, I'm about to make Jerusalem a cup of reeling to all the peoples round about. And in the siege against Jerusalem, there will be a siege against Judah. And in that day, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. And all who lift it or burden themselves with it shall be sorely wounded. And all the nations of the earth shall come and gather together against it. Now those words are talking about the pivotal role that Israel will play in the end of the world, or the end of time, the end of the age. We live in a generation when the headlines of the news every other week are somehow have the subject of crisis in the Middle East, and whether the article is about uprising in Egypt or trouble in Syria or Lebanon or other of the Middle Eastern countries, Israel's name is always mentioned. And that's because even what was written here, God Himself makes Israel to be a burdensome stone for all peoples. But He also goes on to add that anybody that lifts up their hand against Israel will be sorely wounded. And then in verse 3 of Zechariah 12, as I read just a few moments ago, all the nations of the earth shall come and gather together against it. And that statement that all the nations of the earth are going to rise up and come after Israel is very important in understanding that this will be a sign of literally the end of the ages. We know that Israel has been a controversial nation for centuries, and how the anger of other nations against Israel seems to be a constant issue in not only the Middle East, but around the world. And yet God has said through the prophet Zechariah, that's the way it's going to be. And then to the point where all the nations of the earth will come and gather together against Israel. Then it goes on to say in verse 4 of Zechariah 12, in that day, says the Lord, I will smite every horse of the armies that contend against Jerusalem with terror and panic, and I will open my eyes and regard with favor the house of Judah. So the idea here is that God Himself is going to fight against those armies that contend against Jerusalem. And you may have a problem with that if you follow history or politics, and maybe you could list the sins of Israel against other nations and say, well, it's not fair that God would defend them. Yet we have to understand that God has said about Israel that they are His chosen people. It doesn't mean that they did everything right. In fact, God was the one that was consistently judging them and disciplining them because of their sins. But this is not a political issue. We have to be able to look at the Word of God and set aside all our political opinions and simply agree with God that God has said Israel is His chosen people, and that those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed, and those nations that come against Israel, God Himself will deal with. So we have to not look at this with any political eyes. We have to simply say God is giving us insight through the book of Zechariah into what will happen in the end times. And we're living in a season when we're hearing rumblings that are movement or a foretaste, you could say, of what will happen in the end times. And there are many people who will predict this is when the Lord will come, or this is when the Battle of Armageddon will take place. But I want to just say to you and encourage you, don't get caught up in trying to date any of those incidents that the Bible talks about, because Jesus said no man knows the day or the hour. And that was in answer to His disciples asking Him, well, when are all these things going to happen? Because Jesus was talking about some of the signs of the times of the end of the ages. And Jesus' answer was, hey, nobody knows the day or the hour. That's it. Leave it right there. But you can know the signs of the times. And that's something that the Lord does give us insight into, even here in the book of Zechariah, that the day is going to come when all the armies of the earth are literally going to come against Jerusalem. They're going to gather together against it, it says in Zechariah 12. So we need to just understand there is going to be a time when the nations of the earth will gather against Israel, and there will be a great battle. And at that point, God Himself, the Bible tells us, is going to intervene. And you don't want to be among those who come against Israel, because they will be defeated by God Himself. It says in verse 9 of chapter 12, it shall be in that day that I will make it my aim to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. So that's a word for people to understand. God Himself is going to defend Israel, and He will, in the process of defending Israel, come against those nations that come against Israel. So we have to be aware of that and pray for God's mercy on Israel. Because one of the other things that we can glean from Zechariah is that when this great end time battle takes place and all these events surrounding literally the end of the ages, that there's such a tremendous time of tribulation that the Bible tells us that only 1/3 of the people living on the earth at that time will even remain alive after all this great battles and tribulations take place. And we find that in chapter 13 of Zechariah, because it says, verse 8, Zechariah 13, and in all the land, says the Lord, 2/3 shall be cut off and perish, but 1/3 shall be left alive. So this is an important understanding that we have to have too, that this end time tribulation and battle is going to be so intense and so many things are going to happen that quite literally 2/3 of the population are going to die through it. And there are other things that will happen besides war that I'm not going to talk about. But that's what's mentioned here in Zechariah. 1/3 shall be left alive. And then in verse 9 it says, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will hear and answer them. And I will say, it is my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God. So this tells us that the 1/3 that come through will cry out to the Lord, God will hear them, and they will become the people of God, and those people will take hold of the Lord as their God. And then the final chapter of Zechariah, chapter 14, reiterates that same theme. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. This is verse 2 of Zechariah 14. And then verse 3 tells us, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. And then the fourth verse is where we hear this amazing image of the return of the Lord to the very place where Jesus was standing when he ascended into heaven. It says, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which lies before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from the east to the west by a very great valley. Now that is a picture of the return of the Lord physically to the earth, and the splitting of the Mount of Olives. In other words, the very land or the topography of the land will be changed when Christ returns. It's going to be an amazing day. It'll absolutely herald the end of the ages and a time when things will change and God Himself will rule on the earth for a season. So we need to recognize that there is a literal end of the ages that is coming. There is a literal second coming of Christ. There is a literal battle of nations against Israel. There's going to be some very tumultuous events that occur during this end of the ages, this day of the Lord that we keep hearing about in the Old Testament. And to me, it's amazing how detailed some of those prophetic words that we're hearing about the end of the ages, which was prophesied thousands of years before this is going to happen. One of the most detailed and interesting to me is found in verse 12 of this last chapter of Zechariah. Listen to it and tell me if it doesn't sound like something that's a result of a nuclear war, or maybe it's a supernatural thing that happens. But here's the description of what happens to the people who war against Jerusalem in that very last great battle. It says in verse 12 of Zechariah 14, "And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the peoples that have warred against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall rot away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall corrode away in their sockets, and their tongue shall decay away in their mouth." Now that sounds like nuclear war, but it doesn't say it's war. It says this will be a plague that the Lord will smite the people with who have warred against Jerusalem. So in a moment, the Lord releases this thing while they're literally standing on their feet to do battle against Jerusalem. This horrific thing will come upon them. So it's a very detailed description of what takes place in this final battle against God's people, Israel, and against the city of Jerusalem. And I share all that with you to say, as believers, it's important that we recognize there is a literal return of Christ a second time. There is a real end of the ages battle. This isn't a movie script that somebody made up themselves. And there's so many movies that sound like Armageddon or the end times, but please don't base your theology on what you saw in a movie. I've seen a lot of people do that and they're very confused. They have no understanding of what's really happening. And yet many movie script writers have taken their cues from what is described in the Bible about the end time wars and battles that will take place. But don't get your theology there. Go to the Word of God and understand it is true. There will be a last day and a last battle and a last Armageddon, so to speak. And yet the end result will be that God himself will reign on the earth. And that's the good news for those who believe that Jesus is going to return to the earth, and he will reign in righteousness and beauty and victory and love and peace. And there will be an end to every kind of war. There will be an end to every kind of curse on the earth. There will be a time of great peace with the Lord, and there the land will return to a place where people will worship the Lord once again. And in fact, that is what is given to us here in the very end of the book of Zechariah. Because in the 16th verse of Zechariah 14, it says, "And everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." And this is a picture of people having realized or recognized that the Lord is God and no longer are fighting against the Lord or his people, but have become worshipers of God. And that in the end of everything, people will gather to Jerusalem to worship the Lord, the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feasts of the Lord. And it'll be a time of great presence of God in the earth and the worship of the Lord, and there'll be no more war, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more fighting, but a time of just worshiping God, and that is the end of the end times. And that's God's desire for the earth, that people would know Him, worship Him, and live in peace with the Lord as their God. So don't be discouraged by what you've heard about these end time events, but be encouraged that the Lord is coming back and that the end result will be that people will give their hearts to Christ, become worshipers of God, and find their place in God's family and become worshipers of the one true God. God bless you and give you a victorious week.